produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings. My name is Matsia Mugwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Skodu. Today's topic is called The Unchanging Truth. A lot of times we argue about what is truth. And we also ask, what is true? Is this false or not false? We must remember, while we are busy rebuts at this type of a question, we need to remember why truth is so important. And we need to remember that when we understand the importance of truth, then the truth must be lived. And not live the truth. You need to understand the importance and live according to the understanding you have. The truth, it must be lived because the truth is alive. The Bible is very clear. As the Lord Jesus said, and he told us, and he said in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying, I am telling you this so that when this type of a question comes on board, when people debate about it and say, what is truth? Who is the truth? He is giving an answer in the book of John 14, and he says, I am the way and the truth. Now, we must remember that half a truth is often a great lie. The truth, the real truth, cannot help but to exclude lies. When we know the truth, we immediately remove and exclude any kind of lie. There are principles that are there to protect us, and we must build on solid foundation, which is only the Lord Jesus Christ. God's truth, Nete ya Modimo, does not shift. His truth does not shift. Hahona mo Kresta Chichang, the standard and who he is, because he can only be the truth. His truth does not change in order to put a balance in any human power. His truth does not change so that we can have a balance in our government policies. He is the truth. That is why we say, truth is timeless and eternal. Harabala, the book of Philippians 2, I'll read from verse 9 to 11. It says, Philippians 2, as we read from verse 9 to 11, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. If we are not with the truth, we will become victims in our current world, because we live in a world of opinions. We live in a world of philosophies. And that is why God is saying, know the way. Tseba nnete, hobane I am the truth. We need to know the scriptures. It is highly important hore re tsebe mangolo. Hobane mangolo a re bula mahlo. We need to discern the truth. We need to discern the truth independent and be independent of any public opinion or any kind of feelings except the truth. One thing I have learned over the years is that perception cannot be allowed to determine the truth. But we need to never move away from the truth. That is why I say, let us talk about this unchanging truth. Because things in this world, they change. Kings are removed and kings are also promoted. But there's this unchangeable truth that we should stand on. We can hate the truth. It is okay. We can deny the truth. That is fine. But this unchanging truth, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the eternal truth. Nothing can remove that. Now, Jesus, as we read the Bible, He did not say that I am trying to be the truth. He did not say I am trying to tell you the truth. But He said, I am the truth. Now you might ask yourself, but what is this truth? What is truth? Let us get our answer from the book of John 8 verse. I'll read from verse 36 to 38. Now here we read of a story where Jesus is brought before so that he could be judged. Now as he is there, amutlisa ho Pilato, he is being questioned. He's brought before Pilate just to be questioned. And he says to them, I'm going to read from verse 13, Orahabu wali Pilato, in verse 36, he said, Jesus said, my kingdom, it is not of this world. If it were, then my servants would have fought and would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now the problem is that my kingdom is not from here, but it is from another place. And he continues to ask Pilate, Oro huyena hamobodza, are you a king? And Jesus answered, he says, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, simply to testify to the truth. Truth is important, ladies and gentlemen. He continues to say, so that everyone who is on the side of the truth listens to me. And he says, this man is asking him, Ore Pilato Hamobute, is asking and saying, what is truth? You see, this is a question that we continue to ask even today. This question was asked decades ago. Lika shenu ntsere ibotsa the same question that Pilato ola ibotsa are, what is truth? And the truth is, he says to them, I am trying to reason with you on another level, but the problem is that my kingdom, it is not from this world. You see, from the very beginning of time till today, we are always asking and we always want to know the truth. I will read from the book of John 17, verse 17. Or Hakebala, sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. Jesus was simply saying, you are asking a lot of details and I'm trying to tell you, but let me keep it simple and say to you, anyone who is on the side of the truth, they listen to me. Who is it that they are listening to? He says, my word is the truth. Now, this verse doesn't say that he has come to give us a little bit of truth or some of the truth. He says, but God's word is the complete truth. He says, my word is truth. Therefore, that is why the Bible is always warning us, do not err, do not separate. Because why are you not supposed to err and separate? Because the word, it is final. The word. How do you add and subtract from Christ? Because what he is, it is the word himself. Now, Jesus is the word, which was made flesh, so that his life can show us what the living truth looks like. Somebody said, but how can we know? How can we understand? What you need to do is to look at his life and understand and see that he is the living truth. That is why he made the word flesh, that you look at the example that he's showing us as his disciples. The truth is there to bless us. So that we are set apart for his purpose. The truth, it is always there to set things apart. The truth will always be there to separate liars, because he is saying that everyone on the side of the truth listens to him. That means that every liar does not listen to the truth any. The truth is Jesus himself. As I read Proverbs 30, I will read from verse 5 to 6. Every word of God proves truth. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And he continues to say, do not add to his word. The problem we are having today is that we are adding so much. That is why we have such confusion. That is why we have people who are asking, but it is not the truth, but I think it is. They are thinking too much because they have added too many things that are taking us away from the word. And the truth remains the same, and it is the simplest truth, with his, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that is added is an opinion, but we are not looking for opinion. We are looking for the truth, who is Christ himself. Many believe that we have advanced, and indeed we have advanced in a lot of things. People have advanced in wisdom. The technology, it has advanced. Even the technology is extremely advanced. We have evolved into higher forms of reasoning and in knowledge. But we need to be careful. We need to ask for God's light. Because his light will show us the truth. When we read Psalms 43, I will read from verse 3. It says, Psalm 43 from verse 3. Ere Hakebala, set out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. This man is asking King David, that Lord, set out your light and your truth. You see, light and truth, they always go together, because wherever there is a lie, you find that it is associated with darkness. Truth always goes hand in hand with light, because light and truth are faithful guides. Di a guide hore mona na ke a lahlea. Empa what you need to do and to search for the light and say ke batlana le mo ganya eling, ke batlana le mo hona ne nete eling Kriste ka sebele. Jesus is the narrow gate that leads to life, and the way, he is so faithful. He is not asking you to start anything that is beyond you. He is simply saying that I have already made a way, but we are left to choose which path we must take. He is not forcing himself on us. He's saying, I have gone before all of you. I know what is on the other side. I know what is about to take place, but I don't want you to be guessing it. I want you to just follow me. He is inviting us to himself. Now, when we read in the book of Mark 8, verse 34, if you would be my disciples, one thing you must do is to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You are following and taking the road that is narrow, because Christ himself, he has prepared it to be just perfect for you. He says, you follow what I do. That means because he is the word, you are following his word, because his word is the light and truth. Truth does not subject itself to many options or many opinions or popular contest. It does not go according to who has voted that this is the truth or not. It is not voted by any man. It is just standing on solid ground. And that solid ground and foundation, it is Jesus Christ himself. You see, lies, they can be used for years and years to gain things. But we were created for truth. And until a lie is brought out of hiding, until we examine it by the light of truth, it will never be checked for years. It means that anything that we want to check, we are checking it in line with the light. We are checking it in line with the word. We're not checking it because we are being political, but the word itself, it's standard. As we live in the truth, God's word is the truth. Let us come closer and closer to the truth, because the Bible says it will make you free. The only freedom that you have, it is the freedom of being closer and closer to his word. And his word is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is inviting us to the truth. He says, I want you to live in the truth and break any bond of captivity. I don't want you to be in any bondage, but to break this bond, be in me, follow me and seek the truth. Everyone is invited to live in the truth, but there is a dress code that we must have on. We must be clothed in Christ. Unani diaparo tsere diaparang in this thing ebitswang plus, and that is to be clothed in Christ. He is our righteousness. The lamp of God is our garment and covering. No man can cover another except Christ covering us in his righteousness before God. We cannot just hear the truth, but we need to live the truth. We cannot act as though We are ignorant of it, but we need to live the truth. That is why the Bible says faith and actions, they go hand in hand. We are invited to seek the truth. And only seek the truth. And the truth can only be found in God's word. We see it in the life of Jesus. We cannot continue to close our ears to the truth. Jesus is the truth in this world that is full of lies. When politicians lie, when our leaders lie, Jesus is saying, do not worry about them because they are liars, but look at me because I am the truth. I pray that in your life, but the truth, it is what we seek in this world. May the truth and the light of God protect and guide you. May the truth of God be awakened in you so that you become the living truth for His name. That His righteousness will be reflected in your life for His glory. This is Matsie Mokoena. Till we meet again next week, that's all we have for today. And we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shalom. Around the world. This is Dr. Richardson with Candid Conversations on the Finding My Way Family Network. I want to say shalom and thank you so much to our CEO and visionary, Kayla Padgett, for extending this opportunity to share with you just biblical points and moments that will challenge you, that will have you praising God, that will also have you to take an introspective look at your walk. So yes, thank you so much, CEO, and your entire team. Shalom, shalom. So today on Candid Conversations, I want to take a moment just to highlight a brief passage of scripture from our word. I'm so thankful today. It is the Sabbath, it's the holy day, and I encourage you to take a little time just to reflect on the goodness of Yah, Yahuwah, Elohim. I call him by his Hebrew name, just to thank him for his son, Yeshua, the Messiah, and what he did for us, and to take that time on the Sabbath to just reflect on his goodness. Sometimes we're so busy with the cares of life that we don't actually allow ourselves to take time to reflect on his goodness, his mercies, and all that he has done for us. And not only us, but those who don't understand us. Because listen, it would behoove us as believers to pray as the word instructs, for those who speak and do all matters of evil. Now listen, Dr. Richardson is not quoting verbatim, but you know what I'm referring to. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And so it is incumbent upon us to take the scriptures and to remember, just to take a little bit of time, not to only reflect on the beauty of life and that life that we have been blessed to experience, but also to pray, to intercede for those who, Yeshua said it himself, the world hated me. So we know if the world hated our Savior, He's even their savior, and yet they persecuted him. So if he said that he had people who hated him, of course, by us being his disciples, us being grafted in as heirs with God and joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Yeshua, then we know that we too will be persecuted. So listen, let's head right into the word. I want to encourage you from the book of Ephesians. Yes, the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So yes, that is the NIV version. So I'm just encouraged today to encourage you to not allow the flesh to overrule us, to overtake, or to let me say it this way, to, you know, take us out of our character, to get us to behave in a manner or to conduct ourselves in a manner that is not conducive to holiness, that is not conducive to whom we actually say whom we are. We say that we belong to him, Elohim. So it is not a good thing. And I'm going to tell you, I know it's challenging because even for me, listen, I, like Paul, have not yet arrived. I press toward that mark. I am still finding myself in my prayer room. I'm still finding myself repentant. I'm still finding myself flawed sometimes in this area. And I say that because it's easy when people persecute us. It's easy when people mistreat us. It's easy when people take advantage of us to allow the flesh to communicate and overrule the spirit man or the spirit woman. And I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Yeshua, our Messiah, we call him Jesus, left the Holy Spirit to be our guide, you know, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will convict us. He will reprove us. He does all of these things that we would be more like God, that we would resemble and reflect Yeshua, God's only begotten Son. And so when we allow ourselves to speak harshly or to speak words that are unbecoming of a believer, then it is our responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit, not only to listen, but the word says that we're to not only be readers and hearers, but actually doers of his word. So it's a challenge to perfect that love walk. It's a challenge to resist the urge to retaliate, even if it's not with actions, even if it's just with words. So let us be careful and let us be mindful of our actions. Let us also be more cognizant of our own behaviors rather than our neighbors. You know, it's easy for us to see how someone else is falling short, you know, and that's why grace is there. But it's more challenging to see when for many of us, to see when we're falling short and to have that same grace extended to us. So I am so super excited, so super humbled and thankful for the opportunity to share with us this passage of scripture. Now, let me go on and let me read it actually from the King James Version and bring it a little bit closer so that you can hear it from the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, right there. Don't let this happen. But that which is good to the use of edifying, and we know what edification is. It's building up. It's also building up, not only building up, but building up that our Creator Elohim would be glorified, and that those in the body would be edified. You get that? Our Father, our Creator, God, would be glorified, and then those who are part of the body would be edified, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, sin touches us all, or God knows our heart. Yes, Yeshua knows our heart. He created us, and he created us in his image. He created us for his purpose. So, you know, I think sometimes that there's a pride issue, and then couple that with a flesh issue. It's so easy. And on the flip side of that, I've seen where those who are in the body are so sensitive and so delicate about how they speak about those who have harmed them. So that's a good quality. That's a matter of fact, that's a God quality. That's a characteristic of our Father. So that's a blessing. So for those who have been injured, mistreated, maligned, and maliciously affected by various forms of abuse, trauma, any type of behavior that is not becoming of our Father, remember this, they too need prayer. Maybe they're not at a point that you are. Maybe Sister Richardson needs a little bit more prayer, not excuses, because I do need to be accountable for the way that I treat you. But let's just say this, since you're at a different point in your life, you've pivoted and done a sort of change. You know, you've done an about face. You've made a 185 degree turn. You know, that's a blessing, great for you. But pray for me and bring it to my attention what I have done. Because see, even if you were to take it and not even give me an opportunity to be accountable for my actions, or even the corrupt communication that I've said against you, then you're taking it to someone else, and you haven't given me the opportunity to seek forgiveness from you. Yes, I can seek forgiveness, because for the most part, I probably will know that what I have said or done is wrong, and I can take it to our Heavenly Father. But when it comes down to, you know, you, if I've offended you, please come to me. We should be bold enough in our Father, through Yeshua, through our Messiah, to go to an individual. The scripture tells us that we can do this. You know, if someone has offended us, you know, if trespassed against us, then we go to that individual and make things right, or attempt to make things right. It won't always be that way, but at least we've made an effort in good faith. And we know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet to manifest. So I'm just appealing to our spirit man today that we not let our flesh overrule our spirit. And we do realize that Yeshua also commanded this, that we must present ourselves in a manner or a fashion that reflects and resembles him for all intents and purposes. The book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so, all men, not just the ones in the body, but those who have yet to come to our Savior for salvation, they too will see his glory, his light within us, and it's because of a perfected love walk. Listen, as an educator, I remember a maxim that was often said, and it was, practice makes perfect. Now, I know that in my life, I've never known anything to be perfect except our Savior. He's the only perfect prototype that I have ever believed, I have recognized. Everything else is flawed in some way. I don't care how perfect it seems to be. And we, by nature, seem to seek after perfection. But we'll never attain that until we're in our glorified bodies with Him. Okay? Because man is a fallen creation. It's humanity. But what I love so much is how I kind of retweaked that. I redid that. I rebranded that. I repurposed that. I'm the purpose shaker, okay? So what I say is practice makes improvement. So if we practice our love walk, if we practice loving those who mistreat us, see, it's easy or it's easier to love individuals when they love you. It's easy to love those who support us. It's easy to love those who don't resist our Savior, okay? Listen, are you hearing me? This is some good stuff. It's easy to love those who have an authentic relationship with the Father through His Son. And the reason that I say that is because, for the most part, when we have a relationship with our Father through His Son, Yeshua, we already have begun the process of resisting or rejecting ourselves, meaning not the rejection that the world does, not that. I'm talking about we deny ourselves. Maybe that's a better term. We've already begun to deny ourselves and submit to Him. We're in, if we're not in complete submission, we're in compliance, impartial compliance or partial submissiveness to Him. And that's a good thing because we recognize that pride has no place in the relationship between us and our Savior. So it's easy to love those who have a relationship, an authentic relationship with our Savior. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's, oh my goodness, I don't know. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's almost, in some people's perspective, impossible to, love those who reject our Savior. And that's because they operate out of the flesh. They don't operate by the Spirit or by the same principles that we do. So it's quite difficult. But I tell you what, once we allow ourselves to be pliable through His word, through the washing of the water of His word, when we allow that word to wash us, to cleanse us, to continue to purify us, and purification doesn't come via us always making A's or us always getting it right, but it comes through Him convicting us through the Holy Spirit. I didn't say condemnation. Listeners, I didn't say condemnation, because condemnation is a tactic of the enemy. But we always have hope, and that hope is found in the Holy Spirit in our Savior through the Holy Spirit. He said He would leave the Holy Spirit to us as a comforter, as a guide. And so, I know from personal experience, even now I'm continuing to learn that it's difficult. It's most challenging, to love those, and I mean in a genuine way. I don't mean to love or putting on airs. That's what I'm not talking about that. I mean to genuinely walk in love to the point that you don't see. Not that you have forgotten. That's been a big conversation. We're talking about candid conversations here with the real Dr. Rich. It's been a challenge and a conversation piece, a candid conversation piece. For me, when we're talking about forgetting, because I am one to hold through my reading, and I do acknowledge that the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, he did say that. And in my studies, in my cross-referencing, in my commentaries, and just in my time with him, this is me and my understanding, which I stand for correction. The Apostle Paul in no way, in my estimation, is saying that we should forget what we have gone through to the degree that we have amnesia. No, 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 no. Yes, forget everything, the good and the bad. if it hinders us from allowing him to perfect who we are in him. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so this is what I'm saying. If my earned doctorate degree, which is a positive thing, see, sometimes we tend to look at it only as a negative thing, but if my earning a doctorate degree causes me to rely more on my knowledge, more on who I am in the flesh and in the world, then it allows me to depend on him no matter what degrees I hold, then I need to forget that too. I'm not literally saying forget that I have earned 4 degrees, 1 bachelor, 2 masters, and 1 doctorate. No, no, no. But I need to forget that part of it enough so that I can continue to respect him, that I can continue to reverence him, that I can continue, hallelujah, hey, ooh, thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that revelation. Listeners, oh, glory. He is worthy. But if it causes me to neglect him, to, you know, kind of thump my nose at him, to think that I am no longer in need of him daily throughout the day, then yes, I'm saying as a believer, that trumps everything else. I need to forget that. Forget that. If it does not allow me to remain humble in his presence, and I'll go a step further, hallelujah. If it causes me to be prideful in the presence of my brothers and sisters, my siblings, okay, yeah, forget that. And so also on the flip side of that, to go with, you know, what's already being promoted for the most part, people I've seen in the body of believers often say, you know, forget all of that negative stuff. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Most of the time, it's about, you know, the negative aspects of our lives. It's about, you know, all of the traumatic, the traumatic events or experiences in our lives. Then, you know, we want to forget those. But I'm telling you, in my studies, that's just not the way humanity has been set up. It's not. But if it affects us from trusting him, if those experiences prevent us from trusting him, if those experiences, those traumatic experiences, prevent us from not only trusting him, but having faith in his word and his promises, if it causes us to deny him or to reject him because we want to blame him for those traumatic experiences, yes, we need to put those aside. We need to really seek healing and humility. We need to seek humility when it comes to pride on the other side for the positive things. So anything that would hinder our relationship, our development, our continued growth in him, we definitely need to forget those things. We definitely do, because I'm telling you, we were not created in that fashion to forget. So I'm so excited. We cannot allow corrupt communication. And if it happens, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest, because with our Messiah, with our Heavenly Father, because Yeshua is right there pleading, making intercession on our behalf. So yes, let's seek forgiveness and wholeness so that we don't feel the need to have corrupt communication. But that's so common nowadays. We just say whatever we want to. But to those of you who you know who you are, you're listening, if you have at all experienced something, you know, that just whether it negatively affected your character, if it negatively affected your being, you know, who it affected your relationships, then I say this: if you handled it by not allowing corrupt communication, not allowing the incident or the experience to cloud who you were, and you continue to, like I just read, if you continue to love in spite of, you're perfecting that love walk. I say kudos and I thank you. There are some who are listening and I know it was just a blessing because sometimes we do have itching ears. We want to hear the worst about people. And what is it about us as humanity, as created beings in his image that we love or enjoy? Focusing on the negative aspects of others' downfalls or shortcomings. Yeah, it's not a good thing, I'm telling you. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful because we have an opportunity each day that he allows us to get up, that he, not the alarm clock, not our children, not even ourselves, awaken us in the morning, but it is him who has allowed us to see another day. So we have that opportunity to make things right and to, allow yesterday to be a part of the past. Not that we've forgotten the past, but that, you know, we acknowledge it and we want to be right with him. So, listen, I have some notes. So one of my commentaries read, Paul was reflecting and referring to the sins of his past life, which were forgotten by Yahuwah, and the guilt of which was removed from him by the application of the blood of Yeshua. So that Paul had no more conscience of them, yet they were remembered and made mention of by him. See, because of his humility. See, so that's what I'm saying. So when people challenge you, let me take this moment just to say this. Sometimes people will tell you to forgive and forget. Just remember, it's up to you. Forgiveness is mandatory because we've been commanded to forgive. Even in our Lord's Prayer, you know, we ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven, you know. So he's already forgiven us. So let's make an intentional, conscious effort to forgive others. And in doing so, being in right standing with him, let's just do it. You know, we're going to forgive because we've already been forgiven. I'm just so thankful. But let's also know this. Forgiveness is definitely mandatory. We've been commanded to do that. Forgetting is optional. That's what I always say. So it's up to you. If your convictions tell you that you must forgive and forget, Dr. Rich is not going to challenge you. But for the most part, I want to bring a light and illuminate that's not really biblically sound. Do your research, do your studies, because as an educator, I do that. And it's not just something that you Google, but you do research, you do cross-referencing. And yes, books are written by men, but you also pray, because that one-on-one time with our Heavenly Father is everything. He will bring revelation and light to dark places. Father, Yahuwah God, I thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. I thank you that I recognize the Sabbath even on this Wednesday. It's not about a day. It's about obedience, Father. And so on this Wednesday, I take time to reverence you. I thank you for CEO and visionary Kayla Padgett and her entire team. I thank you so much, Father. I love you. I repent before you, before my Savior, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, and these, my kingdom brothers and sisters. I say thank you. I say thank you, Father. I love you. I plead the blood of your Son, Yeshua, over every listener and over our families, Father. I thank you for our employers. I thank you for favor. In Yeshua's holy, majestic, matchless name, amen. Have a super great Wednesday. I love you. Enjoy the beauty of this day. For now, faith is, by this may all men know that ye are my disciples. It's by your love walk. It's by my love walk. Let's perfect our love walks. Kingdom blessings. See you soon. Don't forget about Ministry Moments every other Saturday with Pastor Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson. Don't forget about Story Time with Princess Leah every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, well, glorious greetings to you again in the name of Jesus. This is the glorious day that the Lord has made for you and I to be glad in and rejoice in the Lord. This is the glorious day, and I'm greeting you all the way from South Africa. My name is Benjamin Kutsuani, and this is your Finding My Way Radio, bringing you the program Destined for Glory. Yes, Destined for Glory. And we thank God that the Father has appointed that in Christ Jesus, those who have come to know Him, those that have been justified, the Bible says, He yet glorified. And so we thank God that there is a reason to be alive at this moment. And if you were listening in and finding no reason and no strength to even hope about this situation and seasons we are living in, we are here to declare to you that it's not over yet. There is hope in Christ Jesus. There is a promise of eternity in Christ Jesus. And there is a promise of the glory of God for your life and my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we greet you and believe that God has been keeping you for such a time as this. Remember, the reason why we are here, even through the airwaves of the radio, it is so that we proclaim that which can never ever be removed. What is this? It is the word of God, even as Jesus Christ himself declared. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. So what we come to you with right now is that which you can lay your life on. You can allow your life to be anchored on. For when your life is anchored on the word of God, it is anchored on the foundation and the rock that can never ever be destroyed and be moved. So we welcome you to our program today, and we proclaim the blessing of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit upon your life. We speak the breakthrough of your spirit, your soul, your body, your character, your material, and your relations in the name of Jesus. We bless you with the word that the Father has declared, that I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And we pray that the word of God will bring the prosperity of your soul, so that as your soul prospers, so shall the standard be lifted up for every area of your life. That's what the word means in First John 3. It says, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health. That's Third John 2. And as you receive that, you're lifting up the standard by allowing your soul to be prospered by the word of God, by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And as your soul prospers, receive it, my friend, by faith, that everything else about your life will prosper. And you may ask today, what is the word that the Lord is adding for us? We are here in the construction for this season that we are living in. For we believe this is that season that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8. He said, when you see all these things, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the shakings, all the things that are happening right now, they have already been foretold by Jesus Christ, even by the Spirit of God, that these things shall happen. These things shall be. But in verse 8 of Matthew 24, then he says, when you see these things, know that these are the beginnings of sorrows. The end is not yet. These are the beginnings of sorrows. It's like God is saying to us, if you and I can still be witnessing these things, if you and I can still be receiving some report about the things that are happening throughout the world, the wars and the rumors of wars, the men rising up against men, the earthquakes and the shakings, he says, as long as we can hear these things, there is still hope for us, because it says to us, these are contractions. These are the beginning of sorrows. And what are these sorrows? These sorrows means the contractions, the pains of birthing, which means that which heaven has conceived, therefore, is being birthed and is getting ready to manifest all that Father God had intended in Christ Jesus for us. And therefore, we are here to connect that with you today. And as you see all these things, you might be asking yourself, how do we stand? And here is the contraction we are hearing. In the midst of the beginning of sorrows, the contraction we are hearing is this, is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In the word of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, and he warns him about the entanglements of the world. He warns him about the things that are destroying in this world. He warns him about the things that are distracting and consuming the hearts of many unto destruction. And the highlight of that of God, he exposed to be the love of money, of which he said to him, the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money, let's get it right. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he says when many allowed the riches of the world to corrupt their hearts, they pierced their lives with arrows that led unto death. And therefore, the message comes through in Paul's counsel to Timothy for us in this season now. And this message is in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. What does he say? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto also you are called. And he says, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And my people, I'm here to say to you, this is the hour. This is the season where your faith and my faith is being tested in this season. But it has to find us, if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this testings of the season have to find you already under the divine charge and the divine command, as the Spirit of God brought through the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. And he said, fight the good fight of faith. Now, I want you to lock and allow your spirit and your whole being to lock into this command of fight. When it says fight the good fight of faith, Paul is writing to Timothy and the generation of Timothy, and even unto our time, he's writing to them when they were a people coming out of the background history of fights, as we know in the Old Testament records. We know that there were fights all over. The children of Israel had to engage in fights with all the enemy nations. And we know that those fights were fierce fights. They were bloody wars. And yet, the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of God to speak from this anchor and say, now, fight the good fight of faith. I believe the Holy Spirit chose this to show young Timothy and his generation that the call of faith is as severe as the fight that you've read about in the Torah. You may have read about the four walls in the Torah, and now that you know that the work is finished on the cross of Calvary, there can be a temptation of thinking that the grace of God means that you just rest, you just lay back because he said, I will give you rest. No, his rest is a command. His rest is attained by committing to the charge called fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Know that. Fight the good fight of faith, which means if it is the fight of faith, it has to be the good fight of faith. And he's using this expression to say, in as much as you've learned about the war, in as much as you've learned about the fight, in as much as you've seen nations, enemy nations destroyed, get ready. Arm and gird up your soul and your spirit with the charge of the Spirit that is saying to you, fight, fight the good fight of faith. Now, you might be saying, but fighting, it could not mean that. I want to say this to you. Remember young David, when David had to ultimately face up to Goliath, he had to go through the final testing of his faith before Goliath. We know that he was tested by being left out in the field with the little sheep, as the brothers referred to, but it was his father's sheep. He never looked at it as a little sheep. He recognized it as his father's sheep, and he took care of it and became a shepherd. And when he won through that faith and came and found the army of Israel intimidated by the giant Goliath, remember that his brothers and the colleagues of the brothers who were still trembling at who Goliath was, they mocked at David. So his faith had to pierce through the mockery of those that thought they know. I can say this to you, my friend, if your faith is on God, if your faith is steadfast on God, if your faith has known to bring down some lions and some bears when no man was watching, your faith will help you resist and stand against the mockery of those that think they know what is going on. Because even though the brother of David mocked at him and said to him, "You do not know what you're doing here. You just are here because you are full of curiosity of sorts." And as they mocked at him in that way, David has to pierce through by faith beyond them. And ultimately, as we know, he came face to face with Goliath. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's call of fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. And then we will go further to understand what is the reward of this. But let's look at the fighting. And as he was coming before Goliath, he literally exposed that he is ready to fight the good fight of faith. By his words to Goliath, he says to him, "You come to me with all your spears and all your armory that you are coming with." He says, "But I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel." What was he saying? "You are coming to me with things that can be seen with the eyes. You are coming to me with things that can intimidate the eyes, the hearing. Even your loud voice is mocking over the armies of Israel. You think I can be moved by what I see? No, I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by faith. My faith is in the God of the armies of Israel." Yes, my beloved, David was standing with the same word of 2 Corinthians 5:7, where the word of God says, "For we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith." And he stood before something that was intimidating to the eye, something that was intimidating even to the feelings, because the Bible says the army of Israel was trembling at this. But David stood up and began to engage the fight of faith. And he says, "I do not come to you with anything that can be seen with the eye, but I'm coming to you by faith in the God of the armies of Israel." And note, my beloved, after God granted him grace, favor, anointing, and the mercy to stand before this enemy, he killed the enemy with a stone. And remember, after Goliath fell down, the Bible records that David took the very sword of Goliath and chopped off his head. And I want you to go through this, that God is speaking in the new covenant and saying, fight the good fight of faith. And I believe the analogy of David, the experience of David, brings it to reality to us that this is not just a flimsy, spooky, spiritistic kind of imagination. No, this is the reality. God is saying, engage your faith in reality. If you put your faith in the God of the armies of Israel, let's say now today, in the God of David, because David excelled beyond even the armies of Israel. If you put your faith in the God of David, if I put my faith in the God of David, then I will be able to execute the judgment of God upon the enemies of God and upon the enemies of the truth and upon the enemies of the righteousness of God. And as he stood over Goliath, the Bible says he cut off his head. I normally find myself imagining this, that as he was cutting of this hair. It was not a clean knife cutting like in a hospital. No, it was a severe, gross kind of cutting with the blood spitting all over. And after he cut off the last membrane and ligament that held Goliath's head to his body, I always imagined young David, a teenage boy, lifting up that head and standing up with it and holding it in his hand, moving towards the armies of Israel. I can even see them stumbling and shifting and making way and an aisle of honor for him so that he can go through to Saul and present the trophy of what he has done in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, in which he had faith, and brings to him now the victory of fighting the good fight of faith. Oh, hallelujah. I pray to God that God will give you strength today, that you will prevail against false messages in this world, the intimidating pride of our time, which is the time, which is the knowledge that is blinding the minds of many. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3 that there is a God of this world who blinds the minds of those that do not believe, that they may not receive the light of the gospel. But thanks be to God that by his grace you and I are saved. By his grace we can be saved, and by his grace we can receive the light of the gospel, whereby we can no longer be deceived and blinded by the knowledge of this world, by the knowledge that is full of pride in this world. Why am I saying this? Let's bring it to our time. When the brothers of David said to David, you do not know what you want here, because do you know this Goliath? You know what they meant? They were like a people in our time, even in the church world right now, as people who do research and have read all the Google things, you have Googled about Goliath, you've measured, you even can mention the weight of his spear, the weight of his word, but you do not know the God of the armies of Israel, your very God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who brought your fathers here too, and for us, the God who brought us the Savior, Christ Jesus. We do not know him, but you have done the research about the Goliath. I can assure you, my beloved, I hear the call of the Spirit right now that it's time to arise and not waste your faith. Don't waste your faith in order to know the enemy of this day. Don't waste your faith and study the Goliath of the day without studying the Word of God. Don't you remember what the Word says? Paul said to Timothy, study, 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't study to show yourself how much you know about the Goliath of this world, how much of Google researches you have done, how much of website reading you have done. That will not help you against the 21st century Goliaths of our time. These Goliaths are manifesting with the spirit of the pride of man in ruling. This is the spirit of religion and perversion. This is the spirit of deception are manifesting in our time. The spirits of lustful perversions are happening in our time. These are the 21st century Goliaths with which we have to contend, and we cannot contend by going to do some Google research. We need to know, like David, the God of the armies of Israel, and put our faith in the God of the armies of Israel. And when our faith is in the God of the armies of Israel, I can assure you, my friend, we will be able, with the smallest items ever, the faith the size of a mustard seed, like the stone that David had to pick up. That stone was like the faith the size of a mustard seed, and that faith was able to bring down a man whose size was like a mountain before the armies of Israel, and that mountain came crumbling down. I want to assure you that in the same way, my beloved, the mountain in your life, the mountains in my life that we face up to, they will come crumbling down as long as we are ready to lift up the ground of our faith and say, no, no, shall I waste my faith in trying to do the research about the circumstance, but I will lift up my faith. I will lift up mine eyes to the God of the armies of Israel, the God of David, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I put my faith in him, I know that this mountain shall be removed and this giant shall fall down. It doesn't matter what the size of the giant is. What matters is the size of the God. It doesn't matter what the size of the spear of the giant is. What matters is the size of your faith, as little as a mustard seed. That faith is capacitated. It is empowered by God that it can bring the God of heaven down, and he becomes a majority with you. And as God is a majority with you, the Goliaths of the 21st century will come crumbling down. What am I saying to you, my beloveds? I know there is a whole political stirring that is taking place throughout the world, from the United States of America to the Australia of the island. There is a shaking that is taking place. And I do believe that the faith paradigm is the connection into the final paradigm that will be God's place of eternal execution of heaven's ordinances in the earth, which is the fulfillment of Jesus's prayer when he said that the church and the disciples and those of us who follow him can pray this prayer, that let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I do believe in this final paradigm shift, there is a release of the eternity paradigm. How so now? Let's go back to the scripture. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is to know Jesus, to know God. That's eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 17, Jesus praying, and he says, Father, this is my prayer, that you have given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given unto me. And then in verse 3 of John 17, he says, and this is eternal life. What is this eternal life that our faith has to fight for? He says, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have saved. Listen, my bride. It means, my beloved, if your life is not having this content, it is not eternal. If the content of my life is not the focus and the steadfastness on knowing the true God and on knowing Jesus Christ, whom he sent, whom God sent, then my life will not amount to anything. My life will remain limited, and my life will not be eternal life. And that kind of life, whose focal point is not the true God, whose focal point is not knowing Jesus Christ, whom God sent, that kind of life is the life of a bad fight. You cannot fight the good fight of that kind of life. The good fight, what makes our fight of faith the good fight of faith? It is because it is the fight of knowing God, whom Jesus, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is the only true God, the one who sent Jesus Christ. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Yes, my beloved, this is the weight. This is the volume. This is the weightiness of the faith and the fight of faith that we are called to fight. He says, lay hold on eternal life. And then he says, whereunto thou art also called. So the question is, whatever you and I are fighting for has to be measured up unto this. Is it in pursuit of knowing the true God? Is it in pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ, whom God sent? Number 3, if my fight is the good fight of faith, is it the fight for all that unto which I am called? Is it the fight to which or to the things unto which I am called? Because if you fight for the things you were not called for, your fight is a bad fight. Your fight is a losing fight, and your fight is a fight not worth fighting. And then he says, fight for this eternal life, because you are called unto eternal life. You were called unto it. Which means it's not the life you claim because you went, you found your way about it. No, it's that life you claim because you responded to the call when he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You responded to the call, and even as you responded to this call unto which you were called, you are then able to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because you have understood that in this call, it is the provision of God, where he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and this is how I love to present it, out of his curse-breaking love, God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever channels the grace of God into their life and to the need of their life, they should access the eternity paradigm, the imperishable eternity paradigm, where nothing is perishing, where nothing can be terminated, which means everything that even intends to terminate your life. It might be a sickness. It might be an attack of the enemy physically. But God is saying, if you have eternal life is interminable, is the life that can never be terminated. And so he says, this is the eternal life unto which you are called. And then he says, and you have professed a good profession before many. The question might be, how will I and how have I professed a good profession before many people? This is what it is, my friend, when we read in Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, he says, you are God's creation or God's workmanship. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and it is what? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And he says to Timothy here, Paul says to Timothy, you have professed a good profession before many. Listen, my beloved, if your profession, if your confession and your profession has to be of good unto good, it has to come from the place of knowing that I have faith in the Christ who has made me to be God's workmanship. Because I am in Christ, and in Christ I am God's workmanship. And he says, created in Christ unto good. I want you to connect this in the midst of the season that we are living in. The fight, the good fight of faith we are called to fight, it is unto the ultimate good that God has ordained for your life. It might be that right now the situation looks like it's bad. It cannot happen. I don't even have faith anymore. But I hear God saying to you, my beloved, no, it's because you do not know who you are and who he has meant for you to be. In Christ Jesus, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And he says, it is not just a purposeless creation. It is not just a creation for the sake of creation. He says, we are created unto good works, which means it doesn't matter how the situation is right now. You are appointed for good works. You are appointed to do good. You will do good. Where? In Christ Jesus. You will do good. Face everything. who is in Christ Jesus, whether it's in the matter of your relationship, face it as in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in Him you are created unto good works. And let me tell you this, these good works are not necessarily anything that will make you compare yourself with anyone. But these good works are the good works which the Word then says to you, He has ordained them that we should walk in them. He has ordained them that we should walk in them. He ordained them before the devil said you are a failure, God has already ordained good works for you. Before the enemy said your situation is a disaster, God has ordained a good work for you, breakthrough for you. So what do I do, my friend? What do we do in this season? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Demand the eternity measure. Whatever you fight for, demand that it must lead me into the eternity paradigm, into the eternal status of everything that I go through. Must attain unto the eternity status. Don't fight for things that are perishing with this world. Don't fight for things that are just things for the sake of emotions. No, you are appointed unto good works which were before ordained even in Christ Jesus for you. So my beloved, let's hold hands together in faith. Believe for the world. Believe for the nation of the United States of America. Believe for South Africa. Believe for the continent of Africa. Believe that the church kingdom will arise with you as a member. Arise to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because you will yet do good. You are appointed unto good. Let's believe God as we will overcome the evil with the good. And God richly bless you as we keep holding out in faith together, for we are destined for glory, even in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.